defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would bring me drink, or give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you for these dear folks that have come out this morning. God, your children, your people. God, I pray, God, that they came here today to hear from you. And God, I pray that's exactly what they would hear from this morning. God, I pray that you would clear out my heart, my mind, and anything that would be of me. God, fill me with your Spirit. Speak through me this morning as a vessel that's overflowing with you. God, I pray that, Lord, if there'd be somebody, Lord, here today, God, that's not saved, that's never had that time, that place, God, where they know they've called upon you, Lord, I pray that they'd get that settled here this morning. God, I pray that we would take what we hear this morning, apply it in our lives, that we could use it to bring you glory. And God, we thank you and praise you for what you're about to do in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I've already mentioned in this portion of Scripture about, you know, David had many mighty men, but in this portion of Scripture, he chooses three that he would call his mightiest men to mention out about some great things that they had accomplished during their time period of being his inner circle men. And we understand we're at the end of David's life, and he's saying these words to encourage, and I believe, you know, one of the things that we need to do as fathers is we need to encourage our children. We need to encourage them to continue on and to continue on in the right things. And we need to lead our homes in that way. And these were some men that made a difference. They stood their ground when nobody else would stand. They stood there and they fought when nobody else would fight. And they did all these things. And David mentions them here in this portion of Scripture. There were some things about these men that stood out. It was different about them that stood out. And listen, fellas, listen. I desire to be one of these three men someday when I stand in front of God. I hope that someday when I finish my race, I finish my course, that God can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I desire that, and I desire to be one of these men that could be mentioned in such of this way. But I'm not looking for men's approval or any of those things. But, you know, and I may never be one of those men, but I'm going to try and strive to do what I can to be one of God's mightiest men and to take a stand and when nobody else will and to do those things. But as fathers, as men in our homes, as leaders in our church and in our communities, we need to be at a place in our lives where we make a difference and we just quit setting a cruise control just to get through life, and that we lead our homes and our families and our churches and our communities with the desire to do it in a way that would please God. We need to get to this place where we get out of our comfortable zone. And we understand that not everybody's going to like what we say or what we do, and that's okay. When, as I read through the Bible and I read through some of the things, we've come to this day and era, Brother Morris, where I've talked to some preachers and they say, well, you just can't say what you used to be able to say. And the only reason they can't say, Brother Young, what they used to be able to say is because they quit saying what they used to say. And they quit saying what the old-time preachers Scriptures used to say. That's what I love about Pastor Ross. I love, you know, we came down here the Sunday night before outdoorsman camp, and I said to my wife, I said, I really want to go down. I've never had the opportunity to actually sit in one of his church services, and I want to come down and do it. And Brother Morris, he preached the same message that he preached while he's up at Tent Revival, but it was neat because I drew things out of it. But the one thing that I love about him is he still says the things that the old-time preachers said because it's biblical. He's still carving it out, and I love that about him, and I really love that. But you know what, Brother Young, if we quit now in our generation saying the things that need to be said, remember God commanded us, Max, to preach the entire counsel of God. So if we quit saying those things, Brother Nathan, now what are our young men going to say? We've all heard the story. We've heard it in school. If we start with a message here with Ian and we pass it down, by the time it gets to that back row, it's going to have a whole different meaning. And it's time that in our homes and in our families and in our communities that we just stay true to the old-time ways. We are in a battle today that everything that is right and everything that is Christian is we're hateful and we're mean and we're all these things. Brother Young, it makes me sick right now. We have people that are call themselves Independent Fundamental Baptists that all they do is tear down Independent Fundamental Baptists. Well, if you don't like Independent Fundamental Baptists, go be something else. This Bible, if you read it and you study it out, you cannot land anywhere except for an Independent Fundamental Baptist. I'm not ashamed of those things. Jesus was a Baptist.
Right. Yes.
Yep.
He was, folks. He got baptized by John the Baptist. Not John Baptist. John the Baptist, okay? We understand he was baptized scripturally as a Baptist, right? All right. That's why if somebody comes from a Church of Christ, they were baptized in the Church of Christ, they want to join church, we have them get rebaptized. Why? Because they got to be baptized doctrinally and scriptural, folks. Scriptural. We need to hold the line. We need to continue to go and plow out the ways. And as fathers, this morning I'm gonna pick on you some, but it goes for the ladies, it goes for the young men. We got to get to this place where we're going to stand for some things. We're going to strive to be something for the Lord. And these men, I don't believe that they did the things that they did, Brother Nathan, to get any kind of recognition. They just did these things because they were right to do. And that's where we got to get there in our lives. We got to live our lives that we're going to live them and do the things that we're supposed to do because it's right to do. Number one, I want to show you a couple things, but these were courageous men. They were not afraid to stand alone. And we're going to see that in the scripture. In verse 8, it says, these be the names of the mighty men of David, whom he had, the Teshmonite that sat in the sea, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Ezanite. And look at the next word. What's it say? He lift up his spear against 800 men whom he slew at one time. Now, I don't know about you, Brother Max, but people say the Old Testament's boring, but I don't know to me. The Old Testament has some great stories. I mean, it shows some true men, some characters. Think about this, Brother Nathan. It wasn't AR-15. It wasn't fully automatic. It was a spear that he slew 800 men. I mean, you want to talk about a bloodbath. I can't imagine what this guy looked like when he was done. Can you imagine? I mean, You ever, Brother Nathan, you ever have to go up and stick a knife in a deer's neck or something because it was still... It's bloody. I've shot deer in the neck before. And it is, I mean, there's a bloodbath on the ground there. He's spearing 800 men at one time. He, do you understand that?
Yeah.
It wasn't him and 800 other men. It was he. He stood the ground when nobody else would stand the ground. And that's what we need today is some fathers to say, I'm going to stand on the things of this old blessed book, no matter who else stands with me.
Right.
We live in the day of compromise. Compromise, listen, when I got married, people said this, Brother Young, you're going to have to compromise on some stuff. It made me want to throw up. I hate the word compromise.
Yes. That's good.
I've learned to pick my battles over the years. There's some things that just don't matter, hell beans. Like, you know, turning the light out. Not turning the light on. You had to be in Sunday school for that one, folks. But we need to be willing to stand alone. That word courageous means brave, bold, daring, intrepid, hardy to encounter difficulties and dangers, adventurous and enterprising. We need some dads in our home to be these kinds of leaders. Listen, can I just say this, ladies? Quit trying to make your husband like you. Quit trying to make him think like you.
Right.
He's a man. Let him be a man.
Good.
That doesn't give you the right to be a pig. You know, I remember Brother Young, the first time I ever went, and I was like a chaperone with the youth. And we were up at Elgin at the youth conference. And you have to understand, now I'm not perfect by no means. You can ask my wife, Brother Morris. But I kept a pretty tight ship for years when I lived by myself. I mean, a tight ship. Things organized, things the way they should. And young men, you ought to learn to be organized. Okay? So it will save you a lot of arguments when you get married someday. At least I hope. Unless you marry a wife that's not organized, then it's going to cause arguments. But this is the thing. So I go on this youth conference, Brother Nathan. And these young boys, they're like letting their belongings all over the floor. And I go to step over. I go in to get a shower because you share a dorm room. I'm like, really? These kids want to stay up. Then they want to mouth off. I'm like, I go out. I flip them out of their bed. And I'm like, you want to keep back talking? And I'm not a youth leader, brother. So here's the thing. I'm like, whoa. I go into the bathroom, wet towels, like they fell in the toilet, and they're hanging them over stuff, just letting them roll up on top of the toilet. I called them in. I said, this ain't happening. If you guys want to go home alive, you're going to go out there, you're going to pick your stuff up, you're going to put it in your locker, you're going to hang your towels up, you're going to... Not... You say, that's why I'm not a youth pastor. We need to get to a place where we lead our homes and we're not afraid to take a stand for the things. We live in a time and a place where compromise, it's easier to give in than it is to fight. The Bible says they had all gone away and he stood and slew 800 men. He slew 800 men by himself. What are you willing to stand for today? When nobody else goes with you, brother, are you going to stand? Hey, when I started outdoorsman camp, there's been folks, I mean, stood right to my face, brother, said, we don't need another camp. And I just bit my tongue. You can't argue with stupid, drags you down to its level, beats you with experience. Because God called me to do the camp, so I don't care what a man says that we need and don't need. I know what God commanded me to do, and I'm going to follow God.
Amen.
I'm a nothing and a nobody, folks, but I'm going to take a stand for those things.
Amen.
There's been times I've had to stand in situations, and you may have to take a stand against family. You may have to take a stand against different situations, but will you be willing to stand alone? That's the key. It's easy to do it when everybody else is going along. You young men, you're going to face some things that we're not going to face. You know, the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. It wasn't necessarily a fleshly thing. It was a godly, it was a spiritual application that they were keeping in their lives. And you young men are going to have to get to a place where you say, I'm not going to give in there. I'm going to be willing to stand. I'm going to be willing to fight for what is right. Some of you dads, what are you passing down to your children?
Amen.
Are you giving in? Are you compromising?
Come on.
You know, listen, folks. We got to get to a place where we take a stand for what is right.
Yes, sir.
Think about it. Brother Nathan, what are you passing down to your boys? What am I passing down to my son? Because if I don't hold the line and stay true to the things, what's my son going to do? I already told him. It blows my mind. It blows my mind that these dads have plowed it out for 45, 50 years, and then a son takes the church over, and the son goes this other way, and there's a compromise. They're like, oh, it's okay now. I just told Jace, I said, son, you go compromise. It'd be easier for me to kill you.
Good.
You say, that's not right, Brother Rex. That's fine. You raise your family the way you want to raise your family. And if, in one aspect, it's all right to have a little bit of fear.
It's good.
Fear God. My point behind that whole application was, son, do not move away from the old time ways.
Amen.
Because they're biblical. They're biblical. They're biblical. The Proverbs 14:26, it says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. You know what? If we continue to plow it out and we live our lives and lead our families according to fearing God's judgment upon us and our families, God will give us a place of refuge. He'll give us a place of peace. Do you know what? We have this, we have this thing that you see it all the time. A prodigal child will go away, and then the family compromises. That's not scriptural. The prodigal's dad stayed at the same place. It's an application, a spiritual application, that God the Father has never left where he is. He's still the same place, and we need to go back to where we left the Father. And that's exactly how God tells us to do it in our homes. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20, David said to his son Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. And he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. David passed these things down to his son. And I believe if we look at the life of David, David wasn't afraid to stand by himself when nobody else could. Remember, where were you, Brother Young? He asked Jace, he said, hey, if your dad doesn't come in here today, you ready to teach Sunday school? He goes, because I don't want to teach Sunday school this morning. And Jace goes, I don't have a message. And he said, well, if you don't have a message, just preach on what? David and Goliath. Think about David. David took a stand when everybody else was standing around in fear. He said, you know what? I'll go after him. There was a reason. I'm going to go in the name of the Lord. Listen, fellas, we need to lead our homes in the name of the Lord. We need to lead our homes according to what the Bible says. We need to pass some things down. I believe that Solomon saw the example of his dad. I believe these three mighty men saw the example that David led them with, and it caused them to do some great things for the Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 9, it says, and after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo. And let me just stop right there. If your dad's name is Dodo, you're going to have to be tough. You're going to have to be tough, because there's going to be some fights and some battles as you grow up. But the Dodo, the Ahoite, one of three mighty men, when they defiled the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. See, they had fled. The rest of them had fled. We're not going to take a stand. We're not going to do this. And look at the next words in verse 10 of chapter 23. He arose. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. You know what, folks? We need to get to this place where we need to understand we have to be willing to stand alone. We need to stand up for the things that were right. We need to quit worrying about what everybody else is doing and just take a stand. Secondly, they stood their ground no matter how great the cause. Your pastor said this, and he said it, or maybe it was Pastor Angel. I think it was Pastor Ross. It was Pastor Ross. He said it at Tent Revival, and he said it that Sunday night I was here. He said, folks, slow down and read your Bible.
Right.
Get something from your Bible, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Aharite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils. See, that's the key. Sometimes you just got to slow down, and you got to read, and you got to study some things out. Brother Nathan, a field of lentils was not a very profitable field. It wouldn't have been considered something very valuable or of a great loss. But the Bible says that he stood his ground. Because you know what, Brother Young? He wasn't willing to give up any ground for the things that were for the cause of Christ. That's where we need to get to in our lives, where we just say, Brother Morris, I ain't giving in there. Yeah, they say today that you can't preach on standards. Why not? It's biblical. The thing that amazes me, and I'm not the standard, Brother Nathan, but after I got saved, I mean, I came from a wicked background, okay, folks? Where things that we would call, you know, wicked and drunkenness and those things were considered normal, Brother Young. And after I got saved, we had an evangelist come into our church, Brother Ethan, and he tore it up. I mean, it was like shotgun, both barrel blasts same time. Bugs Bunny was wicked, okay? Everything wicked. I mean, nailed it to the wall. And you know what, Brother Nathan? I loved it. This is what I don't understand. People are like, oh, I just can't. I'm like, what? You can't? It's a heart problem when they don't like it. If it's biblical, it's a heart problem and the person hearing it that doesn't like it. I went back after service and he had a deal. You know, he had, you know, one for five or four for 15. I went back, he had a whole table of them. I said, how much for all of them? He's like, what? I said, how much for every one of them? He goes, don't you want to just start with a few of them? I said, I want all of them. I just got rid of country music. So I replaced it with preaching CDs.
Amen.
Amen.
But
where are we at in our Christian lives? Are we willing to compromise just a little bit? Remember in the garden? Remember in the garden, brother, when the serpent came to Eve? The Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than any other beast in the field. And we have to understand, fellas, the devil, he's real subtle. And he doesn't want you to completely change abruptly. Like he doesn't want you to throw the drums on the platform and, you know, the 7-Eleven songs on the side and everybody gets up and moves around, shakes their hand to 7-Eleven songs. No, what he wants is you to start singing some of these conservative Christian or these CCM, whatever. That's what he wants. He wants you to just change the beat of the music a little bit. He wants you to start having this easy believism, soul winning, instead of actually just telling them the truth. Soul winning don't work anymore. Let's just hang some booklets. Still works, folks. The gospel still works. The problem is we become to a place where we're lazy and we don't want to work. I've heard this, that when the music changes, the church changes. And I'll concur to disagree with that, because what I've noticed is when the church starts to change music, they've already given up on soul winning. Soul winning's not everything the church is about, but it's the main thing. Do you understand? Jesus came here to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. That was his sole purpose of dying on a cross, folks.
Yes, sir. You're right.
What are we willing to give in on? What is it? Well, you know, my kids, they only dress that way when they're doing this. Or is it, well, you know, everybody's playing those video games. It's going to start getting quiet, I'm sure. Blows my mind. Grown men wasting 6-8 hours playing video games. God didn't create you to sit and play video games. He created you to work.
Amen. It's good.
Instead of allowing your kid to sit there for hours and look at me, I scored 30 points today. Take them out and teach them how to shoot a ball. Be good for them to get some physical exercise. I got another idea. Make them work. But it starts at home, fellas. We got to raise some young men. Mamas, let them be men. The umbilical cord was cut.
That's right.
Oh, my, Junior, we can't do that. Sure he can. Folks, we used to ride in vehicles with no seat belts. My parents used to put me in the back of a pickup truck on a mattress and say, go to sleep, we'll wake you up when we get to the beach. No seat belt. I chewed on my crib and it was lead paint. Now you know what's wrong with me. Let them be boys. It's okay. Don't make them afraid of getting a tick. Just show them how to get it off of them. I say all that lighthearted, but what are we doing? Where are we compromising the little things of raising up the next generation of mighty men? Brother Young, my life may never be to a place of something like this, but I'm going to strive as hard and take a stand and be willing to stand alone, because there's some young men that are coming up after us. There's a young man that lives in my house that it's worth fighting for. It's worth taking a stand for. And it's worth saying, I ain't giving any of this ground. What do you allow to come through on your TV? Does it go against the things of this word? You know, one of the reasons why the homosexuals have such a grasp on society is because we started watching them on sitcoms and thought they were funny, and it allowed us to get to this place where we accept what they are.
Right.
Folks, I'm not telling you to be mean to them, but what they're doing is still an abomination to the Lord. Where are we willing to take a stand and say, I'm drawing a line. If God's word said it, that settles it. I'm not going to let any ground disappear from where we're at right now. We're losing ground, and we're on a slippery slope, folks. And it's going to take some men to make the decision, say, I'm going to stand, even if I stand alone, for the things of God's word, and I'm going to fight for every little cause for the cause of Christ. We need to get to that place. The word cause is that which produces an effect, and without it, it would not exist. Did you hear that? Without the thing, it would not exist. Where can we give any ground, Brother Max? Tell me, where are we going to give ground? I don't know. I think we just need to take a chance, and we need to take a stand for the things of God. Think about these men. They watched David. There was David, and he took a stand. He said, is there not a cause? When all the Israelite army wouldn't stand up to Goliath, he just said, is there not a cause? When they tried to give him all this equipment that he didn't know how to use, you know what he did? He just took those five smooth stones and a sling, and he went after a giant. You know why? Because he was doing it in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
When we stand, and we stand alone, and we stand to fight against them small, subtle changes, we need to do it in the name of this book right here. God's word said it. That settles it. End of story. We need to get to that place. And thirdly and lastly, they were devoted men. David was in the hold of the garrison of the Philistines, was then in Bethlehem, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. These men put their lives in jeopardy to go get David a glass of water. They were devoted to him. And you know what? As the man of God leads the church, we ought to be devoted to him. But most importantly, you need to be devoted to God.
Amen.
You need to be devoted to his word. You need to take a stand. You need to be, Listen, when we're devoted, we just make the determination, I'm going to live my life according to what this book says. I don't care where everybody else goes. This is where we are going to stand. We're going to stay right here. Stay in this book. It will cause you to have some boldness that maybe you wouldn't have any other time. It would cause you to maybe do some things that one day you might be the thing that stopped it from completely ending. That word devoted means solemnly set apart or dedicated, consecrated, addicted, given to, doomed or consigned. Here's the thing, fellas. We need to get to this place where we're committed to something. You know, think about our lives. Brother Morse, when you got married, you made what? A commitment to your wife, right? You and your wife made a vow to God. And that's where a lot of people get away from things in marriage, because I can break a vow with you, Brother Young. But when I break a vow that I made with God, but you made a commitment, right? And for your marriage to be everything that it could be, how many children do you have, brother? 10. You made a commitment. your wife made a commitment.
Yes, that's right.
You go to work, she deals with that, yes. So you should give her the credit for the kids, right? So 10 children. That's a blessing. But that's a commitment. Whether you have 1, 2, 3, 10, whatever it is, you made a commitment. Why don't we make a determination that we're going to lead our homes, we're going to lead our families, we're going to lead in our churches, we're going to lead in our ministries, we're going to lead in our communities with a commitment that I'm going to live my life and I'm going to stand for the things of God. And it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, I'm going to make a commitment. You know what? When he went to the cross at Calvary, Brother Morris, he went and prayed and said, not my will, but thy will be done. You're forgetting that, yes, he was 100% God, but he was 100% man. He faced the same temptations, brother, as you and I have faced. He understood, and he came here so he could understand that we basically what we were made of. But Ian, when he went to that cross at Calvary, he was committed. When he went to the garden that day and he prayed and said, not my will, but thine will, he was committed. He was devoted to living his life in such a way that it would please the Father. He died for you and I, and we're sitting here today. Are you devoted to him for all he's done for you? Brother Morse, you know, they say where, you know, much is given, much is required. And, you know, they talk about, well, people that are saved out of this wicked lifestyle, that many times they really realize more what God saved them from. And I'll concur with that some. You know, that's why a lot of times Baptist children grow up in church, grew up in godly home, they struggle with salvation because they don't, there's not the transformation that there was so in my life. But you're still a sinner. You're still saved from the same things that I was saved from. Whether you were involved in those things or not, you're still saved. And you have to understand that something that cost God the Father so much. You have 10 children. I have 3. I have 1 son. I would not give my son for anybody in this church. Brother Young, I couldn't say, well, you know what? Brother Young can go to heaven if I turn my head and let him hit my son. I couldn't do that. Just let that sink in for a moment, that God the Father turned his back on his only begotten son as they tore his body to shreds. The agony of being nailed to that cross. The humility of being stripped of your clothing in front of the public and hung there for the world to see, beaten and battered, bruised and bleeding and torn apart for us. But we're afraid of what somebody else might think if we take a stand on something biblical.
Come on. There you go. Come on. You're right.
How devoted are you this morning, dads? Hey, if you don't like the evangelistic message, talk to Pastor Ross. I came in here and he asked me to do this, and I'm just giving you my heart this morning. I'm giving you what God gave me. Amen. We need to get to a place. Maybe you're a grandfather. Here's the thing, grandparents, you get to this place and you hear it all the time. Mom, what are you doing? You would have killed us if we did that. Good. Are you going to take the stand with the grandchildren just like you did with your children? Amen. I tell my in-laws all the time, they're bad, spank them.
It's good. Amen.
Enforce it.
Right.
Amen. Where are we willing to compromise? Are we going to stay devoted to Him? If we stay devoted to Him, we'll be willing to fight for the smallest things for the cause of Christ. We'll be willing to stand alone when nobody else goes with us. Why? Because we're devoted to Him. Brother Morris, there's been tough times, I'm sure, in your marriage. 10 children? Can't imagine. We have 3, and it's trying at times. There's a commitment. There's a devotion to one another. Why should our devotion for the things of God be any less than what it is for our spouses? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just think about this, folks. If we give in today to the things of God, where will the testimonial story of the gospel of Jesus Christ be in 20 years? Will it have become just a thing of anybody that believes that there's a God is going to heaven, and all these gods are the same God? There's one God. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says that ye must be born again. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Brother Rex, I'm just here this morning because my wife asked me to come and it's Father's Day and I'm here this morning. Maybe you came this morning just to get a dessert. I don't know what your story might be this morning, but maybe you're here this morning and you're not normally here. Let me ask you something. One of the greatest ways to show the right example in your home is to be a born-again, blood-bought child of God. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Brother Rex, if I died right now, right here, I am not 100% sure that I'd go to heaven. But Brother Rex, I would like to know that. That's me this morning. I am not 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you just slip your hand up? I want to pray for you this morning. If you're here and you say, Brother Rex, I'm not 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but that's me. Would you pray for me? I'd like to pray for you this morning. If you just slip your hand up, I won't embarrass you. All right. Christian, dads, moms, where are you at this morning? Have you given in on some things? Have you become a little bit more lax because the culture has changed? Maybe it's time to regain some ground and take a stand for the things of the Lord. How about you? Are you just afraid to take a stand because nobody else has gone that way and things have changed and times have changed? The Word of God has not changed. Why don't we take some time this morning just to maybe redevote ourselves to God and to His Word, and that we're going to do our best job to lead our homes, our families, our communities, our ministries, according to God's Word. How about you this morning? Maybe God spoke to your heart about something. Just a moment, the piano's going to begin to play. If God spoke to your heart about something, why don't you come on down to an altar? Maybe you're here this morning and you didn't raise your hand a moment ago and you're not sure that heaven is your home. Why don't you come on down and see the brothers stand here at the front of the pulpit and let them get that settled. Let's all stand to our feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's piano going to play. How about you this morning? Where are you at, dads?